Amen. Everybody tired? Too many rockets going off at 11, 12 o'clock. I'm amazed here in the city how many rockets, red glare, we have to deal with. Amen. Oh, you can be seated. Go ahead and be seated. I'm sorry. I keep everybody standing up, but anyway, it just amazes me, the big fireworks here right in our neighborhood. I mean, big old rockets and right by the houses, it's like no big deal. I guess those sparks don't have flame in them. I don't know. But anyway, it makes you wonder all night long. I mean, I'm hearing all this popping and banging and everything all night long. And then I think, I wonder if any of those sparks are hitting my roof. But anyway, praise the Lord. It's good to see you. And I appreciate everyone being here this morning. Have some folks out traveling, I know, for the holidays. And it's always interesting on holiday weekends what services are going to be like, but it's always a blessing to see your faces in our class time. We are on lesson number 22, and Brother Clark said he was going to stay out there and watch the TV, but if you didn't notice, over the Welcome Center, we have a big, I don't even know what size, Tim's not around, so I don't, 80-inch, 70, I don't know, it's big. But we have a TV there, and it's not a TV. It's not hooked up for TV, and it's not hooked up to watch the service. It is. You'll notice who did it. Tim's picture's in about every other frame. But anyway, it is going to promote the ministry. We will eventually, like at Missions Conference, we'll have all our missionaries. We'll have so many different things, and we're excited about that. It's like a moving billboard, really. Bulletin board, and it'll announce different things that are going on and that. And we want to put one up by the auditorium as well, right outside the doors. And so we're hoping to get money. We just keep asking for money, amen, because we don't have it. And that one, an anonymous donor is providing that. But you could be the anonymous donor for the one up by the auditorium. $500 is what they... You say that's what it costs. But that's actually a good deal for a big screen like that. But anyway, so that's what that's doing. And you notice the beauty, you can't hear Chinese anymore out at the drive. The holes are all filled in. And somebody thought it was done. No, it's not done. We can do more than just dirt. It is getting done. And praise the Lord. I mean, it's exciting. And the upstairs is starting to... Really, you know, it takes so long to get to the place where it starts to look nice, and it's getting there, and that's exciting. The ceiling, getting some of the ceiling tiles in. I do want to tell you, do not attempt to go up these stairs. You will get stuck. Why? Well, because we pulled the carpet off the stairs, and it's glue, and you will get stuck. I ruined a good pair of tennis shoes. Well, they're not ruined. They just have glue all over them. So I'll have good grip, you know, for all my athletic prowess. But anyway, it is serious glue. And so do not try, you know, you say, I'm going to sneak up and look. We'll have to rescue you, perhaps. We actually had one guy walk out of his shoes because of the glue. And so it's exciting. And anyway, praise the Lord. Appreciate folks praying. Appreciate folks giving and just being here. It's a blessing. Revelation 16, verse 1 is our memory verse from Lesson 32. Does anyone need Lesson 32? Oh, we have several up here that need that. So, ushers, if you'll help me out with that. All right, do you need one, D, or are you just, D needs one as well? So everything's up toward the front, Glenn. Do you have on your running shoes? He's looking. Should have them. All right. Two up here, and then D needs one over here. Very good. All right, Revelation 16:1. Let's go ahead and say our memory verse together. We'll say the reference, the verse, and then the reference. And begin. Revelation 16:1. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. Revelation 16:1. And again, Revelation 16:1. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. Revelation 16:1. Father, we thank you that we will not experience that wrath as your children. We thank you so much for the blood of Jesus Christ. And I pray that you'll help us to recognize again that wonderful blessing of salvation. And Lord, that it could be those who are lost all around us if we would just tell them. And help us to continue to be a shining light in Lenawee County where people can hear and see the gospel of Jesus, where they'd not have to face that wrath. I pray you bless our time, bless all our classes. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right, let me get this thing turned on. And there we go. All right. So we have started on this several weeks ago. We've had a couple interruptions. And so let's go ahead and just do a little review. This, of course, the anger of God is the section that we are on, section 6, and it really covers chapters 14 to 19. A lot of the book of Revelation deals with the anger, the wrath of God. God's attack on the earth is what we are calling the vial or the bowl judgments of God. This is the judgment of God. It is God's wrath being poured out, and justly. You know, and this will be emphasized in this passage of Scripture. It is just what God is doing. It is right. It is justice is the balancing of the scales. It is exactly what lost mankind deserves. Do not ever think that you and I don't deserve the wrath of God, but because of the blood of Jesus, we'll never, ever know that wrath. And praise God for that. But I'm telling you, it is because of our sin, it is what is deserved. That's why we should always be thankful. That's why we should never get cocky. That's why we can never think we're something special as far as, you know, because we're this, that, or the other, we don't have to. No. We sin, and we deserve the wrath of God. But we'll never experience it as a child of God because of the blood of Jesus. Praise the Lord. So we looked at number one, he attacks the followers of the beast, and that is a literal attack. I don't believe it is symbolic of anything. I believe that is these sores in verse 2 are literal sores on people. The first went and poured out his vial upon the earth. There fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. So we have to follow the idea that there will be a period of time where people are refusing the mark of the beast. As they refuse the mark of the beast, they cannot buy, they cannot sell. Eventually, they have their heads cut off. It is a terrible time of persecution. It's a time when people's families are starving because they can't buy or sell. And remember, those that have the mark, they're living it up. They're having a time. They're buying, they're selling, they're eating, they're just having so much fun. Well, now it gets reversed. And very, very vividly, this grievous sore is upon these people that are lost, these people that have the mark of the beast. And it is a terrible thing. Again, this vial, this bowl, this judgment is one where very clearly it's clear that it is not on those who did not receive the mark of the beast. And so it is you see a division, as you did in Exodus when the children of Israel are delivered from Pharaoh in Egypt. There were plagues, and I actually years ago started on a message about that, and I ran into that the other day. I never did preach it. I hadn't finished it. But I spend some time talking about that division and where the division takes place. With some of the plagues did not affect the Jews, God's people, where they did the Egyptians. And that's always an interesting thing to me in those plagues. But obviously, this is one of those things that it's clear these sores go on the people that have the mark of the beast. And so we... ended last time several weeks ago, and we're talking about the word grievous. We talked about the noisome and grievous sore upon the men. This grievous sore is, you know, obviously grief is pain, and it is something that brings grief to us. So this sore, whatever it is, again, you can think of many kinds of sores that cause us problems. Some folks are going through poison ivy, which I think this is more of a painful thing than like an itchy sort of a thing. But it's possible that it starts out that way. I don't know. I'm thinking of leprosy-type sores. I'm thinking of something that is pussy and oozy and bloody and nasty and that type of thing. But the thing about this sore is not only is it bringing pain, but it also is identifying them. Again, well, they already have their mark. Well, I understand. But this sore to me is God's way of saying, here's the result of the mark. You know how we tend to forget the scars of sin. Leprosy in the Bible is always a picture of sin. And we tend to forget, and then you know, especially as you read your Old Testament, you see leprosy in somebody, and we all know that that is a sign of sin. We all of a sudden are reminded, you know, sin has its scars. Sin has a grievous and a nasty. I go back to the plague of Egypt and Pharaoh, you know, the plague of frogs, And Pharaoh, Moses asked him, says, okay, we'll take away the frogs. When do you want them delivered? He said, tomorrow. And it's like, you know, he wanted one more night. And somebody preached, I believe it was Hugh Pyle. Well, Tom Williams has preached on it too. One more night with the frogs. You know, why in the world would you want one more night? And yet, you know, we're reminded of how we love our sin. But boy, it does leave scars. And every one of us gets reminded of that in different ways. As a young preacher, I can still remember several people dying of emphysema. They testified openly that it was because they smoked. And, you know, they had that habit. They said the pleasure of smoking. I never have thought of anything pleasurable about smoking. But boy, I watched them gasping, you know, just gasping for oxygen. And I've watched several people die that way. My own father died that way with emphysema, and he fortunately went into a coma. So we didn't see him with that pain. I believe that was because he had gotten saved and God was graceful to him and gracious. But the scars of sin, alcoholics, cirrhosis of the liver. You know, the scars we tend to forget. During the tribulation time, this sore is going to be a reminder to everyone, identifying those that chose sin over redemption. And so it will reveal who has taken the mark in a way that maybe isn't so glamorous. Hey, I've got the mark. I can buy. I can go to Walmart. I can go to Meijer. I can have food. You can't. Now it's going to be the other way around. And these sores are going to be identifying people that they have a problem. And, you know, sin does always show up on the outside. Look at Matthew 23, verse 27. Matthew 23:27. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. And, you know, God has a way of bringing that out eventually. People can look so squeaky clean on the outside and inside. Very, very clearly, these were, they were full of dead men's bones. It always takes me back to one of my staff members back in Bern, Indiana, and he came to chapel one school day, and he had a pie. And I was kind of intrigued by what he was going to do, and he got up and he started preaching, and he had this pie, and it had beautiful whipped cream on top, and I'm thinking, man, this, and the kids, I mean, they're, I got to have that, I want it, and he preached from this passage, and sure enough, underneath that whipped cream was a whole bunch of chicken bones that had been eaten off of. He ate all the chicken, I'm sure, but they didn't want that then. And that is so many times during the tribulation, I think another, one of God's messages, you can hide everything from people, but I know you. And eventually it's going to come out, and it will. Of course, this is like one of the plagues, and we've been comparing Exodus 9 and verse 8. Exodus 9 and verse 8, we've been trying to kind of compare the plagues of Egypt. There are many similarities. Exodus 9 and verse 8. And the Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, take to you handfuls of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. It shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did all that, and that boil, that sore, that, whatever, very similar to this vial that is poured out and bringing that pain to those who chose to go against God. there are, the law is always perfect. The Bible says the law of the Lord is perfect. I'm amazed, again, how today people have said, well, God doesn't expect us to keep his laws. The Bible says the law of the Lord is perfect. God knows we can't keep the law. That's why he sent his son to die on the cross. But he still expects us to try to keep the law. And that is the thing that gets lost. But over and over, there are certain curses that follow when we don't obey, and certain curses that follow those who fail. Deuteronomy 28 is just kind of an interesting little ending here to this vial. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 27, just a couple of verses here. Again, as we speculate through the book of Revelation, I kind of wonder if this might be one of those fulfillments later on. Deuteronomy 28:27. The Bible says, the Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the emerods, and with the scab, and with the itch whereof thou canst not be healed. Then it says, go on to verse 35, the Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head. And again, the result of disobeying God. And I just wonder if this is one of those things that just keeps happening as a result of disobedience. I mean, certainly it happened here, but it being fulfilled, maybe this is the first vial. Is this really taking place in a major way in the people's lives for disobeying God? The idea of rejecting Jesus is the ultimate sin that we commit that we end up going to hell over. Number two, Roman numeral two, he attacks not only the followers of the beast, but he attacks the sea. Now I try to put myself in that day. I try to think of what it's going to be like, because you can read it and you can be somewhat apart from it. You can easily remove yourself and just praise the Lord that you're not part of it. But I try to kind of, think about what that's going to be like. This is a very disturbing judgment of God to me. This one, the next two, I mean, they all are, but Roman numeral two, he attacks the sea. Verse 3 says, and the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man. And every living soul died in the sea. Now the sea here, what is the sea? Well, again, it doesn't say all the seas, it just says the sea, and so your first thought might be the Mediterranean Sea, which would be that area, or an ocean nearby, the Indian Ocean or oceans. But remember, the Bible does say the vials are poured out upon the earth, verse 1. And so, you know, I think we could speculate this is dealing with all major oceans. Again, it doesn't say, so I'm not going to say that is what it is for sure, because I don't know. But somehow, I believe this is a huge, huge amount of ocean. Personally, I believe it is all major oceans, the Atlantic, Pacific, Indian Ocean, etc. I think it's all the major oceans. but if you can imagine, it's like this body of water becomes like a bowl of death, sloshing death to the shore with every wave. It says it's as the blood of a dead man. Doesn't say it is blood. It's as the blood of a dead man. It is putrefying blood. It is blood that is dark, and I'm not trying to gross you out or anything. I'm just reading the Bible. But again, a dead person's blood, it has a different hue to it. It because the life is gone, and so in my mind, it's like because it's sloshing, it's like a bowl full. You know, all the waters of the earth, as the waves break, it is just there's nothing good. It just continually, as the waves continually are beautiful. If you like oceans, if you like going by the beach and seeing all that, which Brenda and I do, because every wave is new and it's beautiful and we love it. In this day, it will just bring more death. Why? Because the Bible says every soul dies. Whatever's in this vial, whatever it is, whatever chemical, if it is a chemical, whatever is in the vial, it putrefies the water, and whatever it is, it poisons the water so that every living soul dies. Now, go back to Revelation 8, verse 8, and if you'll recall, the trumpet judgment, the second trumpet, Revelation 8, 8, the Bible says, the second angel sounded, as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. The third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were... So there in Revelation 8, after the second trumpet, one-third of the sea is poisoned. Again, we speculated on that. One-third of it becomes blood, and then one-third die. But now here, it's as if the oceans, the seas, everything dies. Any living creature in these bodies of water dies. And that is, I don't know if you've ever, seen a lot of fish, for example, floating onto the shore because of some sort of a plague or disease or something they can't explain. I remember down in Louisiana when the oil spill took place and a lot of creatures in the water, were washing on the shore and they had the black or they were dead or whatever, and it's just a nasty thing. Well, try to imagine. You have the color as being this putrid-looking blood of a dead man look. And then you have all the death of every creature that's in the ocean dying. You know, people go to Florida to see those waves, and Hawaii and California and other places all over the world. And the crash of waves is beautiful, but in that day, you're going to want to get away. You're not going to want to be anywhere near that. It's going to stink. It's going to be terrible. I mean, dead fish on the shore is just not a wonderful thing. You know, it's terrible, just nasty. And so this is going to be bad. Disease will come from that, obviously. And then they're one of the key food sources of the tribulation, and even today, it's gone because everything's dead, all the fish. and you won't be able to get lobster anymore. You won't be able to, anyway. So, I mean, it's just, it's hard for us to, it's hard for me to imagine that. Brenda and I love to, we one of our favorite things is any big body of water. I mean, even Lake Michigan can fake us out. We can pretend that that's an ocean. You know, if you get in the right place, you got to get away from the tip where you can still see the lights of Chicago, but you got to get far enough. But we love to watch the sunset over. I don't know if there's anything more beautiful. Of all the pictures we have, not only hard pictures, old-time pictures, but even on our cell phones, I was going through looking for something the other day, and I mean, I've got sunset after sunset after sunset, and we love to watch the sunset over a big body of water. There's just something about that. But you know, in that day, you're not going to want to be near that body of water. It is going to be so nasty. And I kind of wonder if man, because man is bloodthirsty. You know, the nature of man. Now, you and I, we're not, I don't think. Are we? Are you bloodthirsty? I'm not. I don't want anybody to die. We get to talking about all these conspiracies. Well, bless God, I'll have my guns and all that kind of. Well, I have my guns. I just don't know where any of them are. And I kind of like that. You know, that guy was trying to, we were telling somebody the other day, that guy tried to break into our house, thought it was his house. And he was drunk, and he was kicking the door. And I thought, it's over. You know, we're going to die. And I never one time thought about my pistol. Didn't even think about it. It was right up in the closet. And I'm like Barney. I got bullets somewhere, you know. But I didn't even think about it. And I'm not saying you're wrong for doing it. I just don't want it. I don't know if I could kill somebody. But the point is, you know, man is bloodthirsty. Sinful nature. You see murder mentioned in any list of this is what we are. Murder's in there, and so it's like God is saying it during the tribulation, because man has proven to be bloodthirsty all these years. Let them swim in it. Let them see it everywhere they look. Let them have it all. You know, you remember Naboth's blood was shed by bloodthirsty Jezebel and Ahab, so that Ahab could have Naboth's vineyard. And Ahab's blood was licked up by dogs, and Jezebel was eaten by dogs. You know, you shed blood, and your blood's going to be shed, is the Old Testament theme, over and over and over. And so the violence of man is going to bring a sea of blood. And I just, again, that's my own thinking of it, as the tribulation, again, these vials especially, justice. God says, it's time. It's time. Number three, he attacks the rivers same way. And so these kind of tie together, really. As he's attacking the oceans, the seas, he attacks the rivers. Verse 4, ushers, if you'll go ahead and come, we got to make sure and get money. Amen. As if we're not taking enough of it with our projects and everything, right? He attacks the rivers. Verse 4, and the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers, fountains of waters, and they became blood. Now remember, with the ocean, they became as a dead man's blood, but here they actually become blood. And so the third angel pours out his vial, they become blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. There's God's justice. Do you see it? They are worthy. It's what they deserve. And so just like in Exodus 7, verses 17 to 25, and you just write that down, we'll not go to it. The waters, the drinking waters, are turned to blood. And here's what I think. I think, first of all, this is the answer to Revelation 6:10, which we read several years ago back in Revelation 6. Revelation 6 and verse 10, the martyrs, remember the martyrs? They cried with a loud voice saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true? Dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? How long? How long? I think this is the answer right here. This bowl judgment, the third vial that is poured out, I think this is the answer right here. And it seems to be because of what is said exactly about it. They have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and now it's given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. They are worthy. And so when the oceans and seas become as a dead man's blood, I can't think of anything more nasty than what it must have been or what it will be like. But now the drinking waters. And so God is saying you can swim in blood if you want to. Now you can drink blood if you like blood so much. Because this is not like blood. This became blood, the Bible says. It becomes blood. And again, Revelation 8, write it down, verses 10 and 11. One third of the waters become blood. Now it seems to be all the waters. In Egypt, they dug around to find water. And here, you know, you kind of wonder. I mean, there obviously is going to be survival. But the fountains of waters become blood. You know, you kind of get the idea that everything's blood. You dig up. And you find, you know, you dig a well and it's blood. But again, the Bible, you know, it's not clear. Another thing that is not clear is, is this like the first vial where Christians are immune to this? Somehow do they have water? Somehow do those that are saved, do they have some way to get a drink of water? And the Bible does not say, but I kind of think that they are exempt, mainly because, again, this deals with the wrath of God, and Christians are not going to face the wrath of God ever because Jesus died for us. And so, again, that is assumption on my part. But here's what I found to be interesting, and I wanted to kind of close with this. Verse 5, the angel, I heard the angel of the waters. Isn't that interesting, the angel of the waters? I like that. That kind of got my attention, the angel of the waters. Remember in Revelation 7, verse 1, it talked about the four angels which control the four winds. In other words, there's one angel that controls the north, and then another angel that controls the south, and then the east and the west, and the four angels controlling the four winds. But here we have an angel that controls the waters, the angel of the waters. And it's just an interesting thing to see, and it got my attention. Because even during the tribulation, now just think about this. Even during the tribulation, when very, very clearly, and most of what we've read, the Antichrist is in control. God has let him have control. And, you know, he snaps his finger and everybody jumps and everybody's doing exactly what he says. And boy, you know, he has control. But isn't it interesting? God really has control. He still controls the winds, and he still controls the waters, and I like that. So God is in control. You say, what's that have to do with us? Because I want you to understand, folks, God is in control, and he's in control of our lives too. He knows what he's doing. When the wind blows, he knows why it's blowing. He knows what he's doing with it. When the waters rise or when they fall. In our hallway. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's in control. And as you and I watch, you know, we watch things happening around us, it doesn't look real good. A lot of times, not politically, not worldwide, things just don't look good. Understand, God is in control. And everything's happening exactly as God said it was going to happen. We should not be shocked with anything. But when I read that, it just gave me a peace, the angel of the waters. You say, yeah, but preacher, I mean, they're going to be blood red. Yeah, the ocean is not going to look like anything we've ever seen. How many of you agree with me you like to watch the ocean? Anybody you like to watch? Yeah, see, we did just something about that. And just to lay there, you know, if you've ever rented maybe a condo on the ocean or a house or something, you've opened the windows and you just hear that all night long. And there's just something about that. It's just relaxing to hear. But when you again, if you're laying there and you know it's just bringing in more death and blood and guts and it stinks and, you know, you want nothing to do with it. But God's in control of that. And God's in control. You say, preacher, I'm on my fourth storm of the month. He has angels that control the wind. And he has the angel of the waters. And he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. And that just brought a real peace to me when I saw that. Even in the midst of the tribulation, there's an angel of the winds. There's angels of the winds and an angel of the waters. This angel, he starts off praising God. Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because thou hast judged thus. In other words, just reaffirmation. God is right in his judgment. God is right. We're watching. Here we celebrate. Red, white, and blue, right? And the flags along the beautiful driveway. And we're celebrating, right? Amen. And fireworks. And we're so excited. And yet we're watching the erosion of our country. Some that are older, especially. I mean, we just kind of can't believe some of the things that are going on, right? But God's right in letting it happen. Amen. We pray. We're doing our best. Amen. You do your best. That's why we're running buses. That's why we're still soul winning. That's why we still have a fair ministry. That's why we're having vacation Bible school. We're trying to stop the United States of America from going down. But God's just in what he's doing. Somebody amen. Something. Nod. Amen. He's just. In the tribulation, it's going to seem, wow, boy, this is tough. But God's right. He's right. As fish and crabs and starfish and beauty from the sea, as it all washes on the shores of California and Oregon and Washington State and Maine and all of the East Coast and Florida, as all that gore and guts and all of that washes ashore, God's just. The angel will say, God, thou art righteous. Wait, what? Why is this happening? Thou art righteous. Folks, don't get fooled by all this newfangled Christianity stuff where we can do our own thing. That's as old as the Old Testament when men did that which was right in their own eyes. That's as old as the devil himself. Don't get fooled by that stuff. And I'm not the judge, but he is the judge. And what is he? He's righteous. And I'm telling you, God is right in his judgment on the world. And it goes back to verse 6, for they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, now has given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. You know, Naboth, his vineyard was taken by Jezebel and Ahab. How many times have righteous people suffered at the hands of the heathen? Our Lord Jesus Christ, he was perfect. He was accused of anything and everything, and he never even had a sinful thought. You know, John the Baptist's head was cut off. Why? Because he told the truth. Because he told Herod and Herodias that they were living in sin. That's why. But you see, we always go back to those days. The apostles were killed, every one of them, slain. Why? For preaching. How many of you have read Fox's Book of Martyrs? Choice servants of God, massacred, slaughtered. What'd they do? Just preach the word. Just preach the word. And over the years, it's happened. And here's what, let's not forget, it is happening today. In other countries, God's people are being massacred. They're being shot down. They're being destroyed. Their churches are being destroyed. It's happening. It could happen here soon. I hope it doesn't, but it could. You say, why would God let it happen? Because God's just. God's just because God is going to deal with those who have shed the blood of his prophets, the blood of his saints, and God is going to deal with them. And when he does, there will be no one who can say, this is wrong. Because what God does is just, and it is right. So he attacks the seas, and he attacks the rivers. And we will, next week, talk about his attack on the sun.